Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 123 of Growth Marketing Today. It is the last episode of this year for this podcast, and it is exactly one day before New Year's Eve. And it's a special episode because I'm going to be talking about setting goals. All I hope is that 2021 will be 1,000 times better than this year. And I'm sure that you have a lot in store for the new year. If you're thinking about how to set goals, this is the episode for you. I talked to Wes Bush. Just a little bit of secret that I'm going to be sharing in this episode. I'm actually going to be joining product-led as somebody who helps them scale their business. I'm going to be talking more about product-led growth in the new year. I'm not going to be announcing this in the social, so you're hearing this first before anybody else. So keep this as a secret for now. If you want to send me a message to congratulate me, please do so. Ramley at growthtoday.fm, or you can send me an email, ramley@productled.com. I'm super excited about this role. I'll announce more going forward. For this episode, I'd like to share with you how me and Wes have been thinking about setting goals for product-led business. And we're going to be talking about OKRs and breaking down your goals. If you're interested in that, stay tuned. But before we do, I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. Camille Rexton, the founder there, I've known him for quite some time, and I just want to thank him for making sure that we can provide this episode, this podcast, for free to you. If you want to know more about the free $500 consulting time with Camille Rexton and 42 Agency, you can go to growthtoday.fm/42. That's number 42. Or find that link in the description. His sponsorship helped cover the cost of hosting and other marketing tools that I use to really grow and sustain this podcast show. Well, enough about me. Let's jump in my chat with Wes. All right. Hey, everybody. This is Ramley. I'm excited to just jam with Wes Bush here. We're going to be talking about how we've been thinking about how to set goals for product-led in the future, because 2021 is coming up. And, you know, this is one of the things that's top of mind for us. How's it going, Wes?
Things are going good. I'm really excited about this topic because I don't know about you, but like, I can nerd out about planning all day long.
I can tell. I really can tell, man. Like, this is your job. Like, I really love how, you know, we've been setting up our goals for 2021. Like, you're actually like leading the, well, obviously you're the CEO. You're leading this goal setting stuff, right? But I just wanted to share like what we've been doing. So yeah, what have we been doing?
Yeah. I mean, like, we've been doing a lot of it together. We've like been brainstorming around some of these things of like, what does a successful 2021 really look like? I think that's where you could start though. So whenever we were thinking like how to structure this episode, we kind of took a step back and be like, well, how did we actually do it this year? So maybe we can, by going through this, help you understand, like, here's a way of going about it. There's obviously, when it comes to planning, there's a million, billion ways to do this. but this is at least how we structured it. And at the end of, like, this has been over a bit like a month long process. It hasn't been like a full-time focus for sure, but it feels like it's really crystallizing, and we're getting much closer to what that plan looks like. So the first thing I'd really recommend as far as like the annual focus goes is really just try and identify, like, what does success look like for this next year? Are you just caring about like revenue growth and that is your main focus, or is it something else? Like, is your quality of like customer satisfaction really low? Is there something else you might need to work on as far as fixing that leaky bucket for the business? And so that's where I'd like to start. It's a simple question, but it just gets it going, gets the juices flowing around. What should we focus on for this next year? And then I know you were mentioning, Ramley, just like some pieces around, well, like looking back, like, well, what was good about 2020? What were your biggest blunders? Where did you really succeed? And we've actually kind of baked this into the process for like all our bigger initiatives is, we always do a postmortem around like what does like for our summits or even for our live programs, like what did we do well? What did we really not do well and need obviously improving for the next version of it and going from there? And so is there any kind of pieces you wanted to add to that, Emily, around 2020 review?
Yeah, I think that a big piece is, you know, you go through 2020 and just figuring out, like you said, what went well, but like that kind of crystallizes and kind of bubbles up for you what really you're good at. What are your strengths? Like where, and what did, you know, if you did really well at this particular thing, whether that's a particular part of your business, like there's something about that piece that went well that you need to figure out, because like you want to if you want to be, you know, if that's part of your 2021 success is to replicate that success, you got to figure out what, how and why that success happened for that particular piece. And yeah, I think that leads directly to figuring out, you know, your, people call it SWOT, you're also your strength. Now we're going to weaknesses, right? Like what, for the things that didn't go well, like, is there something like a blind spot that you have that you know, you missed out, or is a particular part of you and also your organization? Are there key people that you're missing that you need to be thinking about? And then there's the opportunities and threats, which are more like macro level, where what are things around your industry that could totally destroy you, but also could also, you know, multiply, like a multiplier effect where, you know, if you ride this wave, then it would really succeed. And we did that together with Gretchen, our head of operations. It was just, for me, it was so eye-opening just to crystallize for us. And this is what we need to be doing, because like there's this threat here that we need to defend against, or there's this opportunity that we need to tap into that we didn't really think about before.
Yeah. And like, if you haven't done like a SWOT analysis with your team before, it's really simple. The way we structured it, I think if I was to do it again, I'd probably do an hour for this, but we did it in 30 minutes. And we basically had 5 minutes to write as many things for like each of our strengths, weaknesses, threats, and opportunities. And then the last 10 minutes was really just kind of going through each of those and finding like, hey, where's the commonalities? If we were to pick like the top two strengths or top two opportunities, what are those? Because what happens is when you get everyone in that same virtual room, like you start actually sometimes saying a lot of the same things in different words. And so it's just a matter of like putting it together. And then what is the end result is actually really interesting. And sometimes you forget what those strengths are for your business. I know for us, one of the things that kind of caught me off guard was like, of course it's this, but it didn't quite come up to me right away. And so we did this activity was just like, one of our strengths as a business is creating strong original content. And so looking into 2021, how could we like really double down on that? And I know for a fact, that's exactly what we're going to deliver on in 2021 is really strong original content. And Ranley, I know you got a surprise around that. I don't know if you've mentioned it to the audience yet, but you're going to let them know in on your little secret.
Well, are you talking about the book? Like, yeah, I think I've already mentioned a few. Is that what you're talking about, the book? Yeah, no, the book is one of them. There's a ton of other surprises. Wes and I were putting together this book about onboarding, and yeah, it's exciting. I by the time of this recording, I should be 75-80% done. So that's one of the things we're pushing out. Talking about creative content, I love doing. We were just geeking out on videos about filming, and yeah, it's something that we want to do more is more filming. But I really love how you put it there, that you know you got to double down. I think when you have a strength, I think one of the dangers that people might have is, you know, you got strengths and weaknesses, and I think sometimes people are like, oh, I got to fix my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But if you're Michael Jordan and you know you shoot fadeaways really well, keep shooting fadeaways. Yeah, exactly. Like if you know you're LeBron James and you're gonna smash that dunk, like Like, why go for threes if you know you're good at like jumping over people? Like, that just, yeah, that's how it, there's always somebody going to be on your team that can shoot threes. I don't know if people are following along with the basketball analogy, but my point is, like, if you're good, if your organization is good at something, right, you're right. Like, that's double down. Like, the danger is that, you know, we spread ourselves too thin. And that's one thing that you and I talk about a lot is, like, are we doing too much? Are we spreading ourselves too thin? Because, like, if that happens, then you might lose your edge on that strength. So definitely we're doubling down on what we're good at.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it is truly, when I think of our business too, one of the things that differentiate us, because it's like, there's a ton of competitors now that are popping up, and they're just like, for their content, it's a lot of it is feels like it's not that, there's not much depth there. And so I really do see like focusing on that quality, leveling up that piece, that's going to be huge. And so the end result of obviously the SWOT, you get to a bit more understanding around like, hey, what is your business good at? What are you not good at? What should you be really thinking about as far as like threats and everything else? But what that allows you to do is really just obviously get like a nice audit on your business. And really what I've found has been helpful is it can help you paint a theme for the next year. Because when you look at like what you're good at, what you're not good at, something might come out there that says, you should really focus on this. Like Grammarly was mentioning, double down on it. So that's actually our theme for this next year is focus on the core. Because given the nature of product-led growth and how quickly everything is going, our business has tons and tons of opportunities, which sounds great until you realize that opportunity-itis is a thing. If you take on a bunch of everything, you are not going to become great at everything. It's just not how it works. You become mediocre at everything. And so we really are going to be strategically saying no to a lot of things and focusing on our core as a business. And so that's really important to have a theme. I know even in my personal life, I try and have a theme every single year. I know 2 years ago, what kind of led me really to focusing on product-led growth actually was my theme was energy. And I would just monitor, okay, like what activities, what things, what people, what foods, like give me energy and what really just doesn't. And just by having that conscious note of like, hey, this stuff I really am leaning towards, I get excited when I talk about this particular topic or something else. You create that life and business that you really do enjoy. And so it's a nice filter if you have one for your business and life, if you apply this, because to me, there's a lot of overlap between the two. And so once you get the theme down, this can help you really identify like what is the main moat you want to build in your business. So in a content intensive business like productled.com, when you're thinking about that, well, a big part of that is one is you got to have a very strong customer acquisition model, which we have done to a certain degree, but is there obviously room for improvement? Of course. And then the second part of that mode is what we were talking about around building that original content. Like you think of Netflix, you think of Disney Plus. Yes, they have tons and tons of licensing agreements for all that content. But what's really starting to drive growth for a lot of these companies is, well, their original content, it's only found there. And so we're going to be really leaning into creating a lot of this incredible original content that you can access as you level up your product-led business. And so I think the moat and the theme and the SWOT, what you're going to do there is like you get a lot of interesting high-level perspective of like what change you want to get. But where I found this piece gets interesting as well, what are you going to do like this next year? What is realistic for you to actually do? And so we started doing OKRs this year. And so what was interesting is, well, I made a couple of problems, not problems, but I didn't quite roll it out successfully the first time. And maybe I'll touch on that. And then Bramley, you can jump into the key results and that component too. But yeah, the first time I created like way too many objectives. I was like, there's an objective for this, an objective for that. And then I started looking at it again and I realized, wait a minute, all of this is, it could be tied up in one objective. And the reason I love OKRs is your objective can be something that you can keep for years on end. So the one we chose is we really want to become the number one place where you can learn how to build a product-led business. Everything, whether it's website traffic, it is the number of courses we have or anything, it all contributes to that objective. And so what's awesome about that is now we have one main objective and then everything else, the key results all contribute to that. And so did you want to go through just kind of how you thought about the OKR process so far, Emily? To be honest and open, it wasn't perfect.
We'll come back in just a moment. I talked to Wes about the OKRs that we've set and all the other plans that we have in store for Product Led in 2021. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. Now, 42 Agency works with high growth B2B SaaS companies, helping them build and scale revenue marketing operations that accelerate demand generation and pipeline growth. They've worked with some amazing companies like OnFleet, HubDoc, GuestLogic, FlexDay, and more. And to top it off, I actually know the founder of 42 Agency, Camille Rexton, and he knows his stuff. So go reach out to him. He's actually offering a free $500 consulting time for Grow Today listeners. You can visit them at growtoday.fm/42. Or find the link in the description. It'll redirect to this special offer. Now, enough about this. Let's jump back into my chat with Wes.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. We had a lot of objectives, and just tying into a few big ones and tying it all to that helps make it more achievable in that sense. And really, like, just around, I think, you know, just thinking about like how you. It's almost like a magnifying glass. So like we can do like a scattershot approach and, you know, shoot a shotgun, hopefully it hits. or the analogy that we can have is like, we have this core objectives now. Let's approach it more like a sniper rifle. And it sounds like a violent analogy, but I'm really trying to focus on this, the magnification. You talked about energy earlier. Like energy, I think, it's such a big thing for organizations as well, where, you know, you do have limited resources. Like maybe you are Tesla or something where you have billions of dollars of market cap, but even then, like, there is that limit. And with core objectives, now you can really focus your investments, your resources. It also aligns, it kind of dictates who you're going to hire. Like, what are your gaps in terms of like, how do you get to that, to achieve that core objective? So I think, you know, we're on the right path there.
Yeah. And like another piece about the OKRs and how you could roll it out, obviously there's a ton of different ways you could do it, but the main objective, like that thing doesn't change for a long time, hopefully, kind of like the values of your business. But then the key results, those can change on a lot of different areas. So we set annual OKRs. We can definitely break these down into quarterly too. But what was super interesting is we had about five main key results we wanted to have as a business. But the next piece, to take it a step further, is really just find who's the key owner for that. And what I love about this is, well, whoever is key owner, that is responsible, obviously, for making sure that key result gets hit. It's very objective. It's like, did he do it? Did he not? And it gives that person a ton of autonomy around like, well, how do you want to do it? And really get to that specific result. And on the flip side, when you're going through that and figuring out who's the key owner for each of these, you'll probably realize, hey, wait a minute, there's a gap or two. And that's probably your next key hire around if you want this specific outcome, you definitely have to have the resources around to make it a reality. So that way you're not just dreaming up like a dream business of like, hey, we want to have all these other kind of outcomes, but yeah, there's specific steps to get there. And so it is a clarifying process. And so that's one thing we are really happy we did is go through that OKR process. But the end result of that is you're probably going to realize one, yes, there's hiring gaps because you need key owners to focus on these key results and hit them. But there's also going to be different things. You're going to look at like, well, there's maybe where we need a bunch more leads. We need a bunch more users signing up for our free trial and different pieces. So it'll be really interesting for you to look at the next phase of that is, well, what do you have to change in your customer acquisition model? Is there a specific channel you're going to have to double down on? What could you do to double your organic traffic or different pieces of that so that you can hit some of those key results? Because at the end of the day, if you're looking at like growth as, let's say that's your main objective, you're going to need a lot more of what you currently have as far as your acquisition goes. And so all in all, I found like going through that process has been really, really helpful. The only thing I think I missed is just kind of zooming out and looking at like the 3-year picture of where do you want this business to be in 3 years or even 10 years? And what does that greater vision look like and how could you get closer to there? And so it is honestly super hard to get a good picture on that given how fast like business is growing right now, but it is nice to kind of zoom out and see, okay, what is the bigger impact you want to have here as it relates to that? Any other kind of pieces you wanted to go on around the annual planning?
I think in terms of how we did it as a team, we're like fully remote, like the three of us, like I'm 2 hours from you and even further from Gretchen. But like, you know, I think that's important thing that we, one of the good things that we did was make sure to had some time to do it asynchronously. Like we, you know, go off on our own, plan the piece that we need and at the same time come together so that it doesn't become a 3-hour brainstorming session where like, okay, now Ramley, you go. I'm like, oh man, for introverts like me, I need some time to like chew on things. Some of my best ideas come when I'm walking the dog or taking a shower. So like that's sometimes you need to just munch on what we need to do in terms of like even reflecting on what happened in the year. So I think that's one thing that also went well for us is, you know, just making sure that there are time for asynchronous and synchronous planning for the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the next piece of this is really the really breaking it down. So like your annual, if you're like an airplane, that's like your 30,000 feet level. You got to bring it down to 20,000 feet. So this is the quarterly planning. And I haven't found a better way of doing it other than just setting quarterly rocks. And so rocks are really just the big kind of initiatives you want to do. And so if you're thinking like, how's this different than like a key result? Honestly, it can be the same thing. Depends on how you do it. So if you're thinking about, okay, our annual OKR, sorry, one of the key results is like, let's get to 1 million unique users on our website. Well, okay, like divide that by 12 or in this case 4, and then you'll have that. And you got to plan out all the other kind of initiatives you got to do in order to get to that goal of 250,000 users per quarter. So that's one way you could do it. But what I also found is almost just as helpful is try and jot down what are the issues that are going to come up? What is going to get in our way? And really put on your devil's advocate hat as you're going through this process. Because what you're probably going to realize is, hey, like there's a ton of issues around this. How do you hedge your bet? How do you have, let's say you have one promising channel or something promising that might show really high benefit, but how can you get some other things going too so that if that backfires, you are still going to hit your goal? It's just when, not if you're going to hit it. And so that's what I, whenever I think of the quarterly, it's just easier if you focus on it and break it down that way. But really, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, for that piece, I think, you know, the other good thing about breaking it down to quarterly goals is you're adding more moments to actually make sure like you're on track or off track, right? Like imagine at the end of the year, you didn't measure and look back and like, oh dang, were we on track or off track? Yeah. And it's already the end of the year. There's no way you're going to fix things by that point. So I think the one of the big advantages of making sure that it is digestible and broken down, like what you said, break it down by months and then break it down by quarter is at the end of quarter, you know, we'll meet together with the product-led team and say, you know, we'll do that thing again instead of the post-mortem of that quarter and say what went well, what do we need to do for the next quarter, and is this objective or is this key result still important to us, and what are some things that we can tweak?
Yeah, and I think that last point you made is so important too, like being liquid and a fast-moving organization is important, because you might be focusing on something at one point and then realize like, hey, wait a minute, like there's actually a higher priority here, and that's so normal. Which hopefully that doesn't become the new norm, but yeah, it does happen occasionally. And so being liquid is super important, so you're not just spending time focusing on the wrong stuff. So that's quarterly. But what I've found is actually the 80-20 of all of this is once you have like the annual plan and you know what you're focusing on for that quarter, this is the runway. The day-to-day is where you can change your life, your business, and everything, because that's where you actually execute. And so I've thought a lot about this in terms of like how to improve your day-to-day routine. How do you get the best work done? So like a precursor, like before I used to be like not focused at all. I would always have like Slack and every like messaging app open and like easily distracted. And then I remember a developer recommended the book like Deep Work to me, and from Cal Newport, it's an amazing book. And it just really went through like a process of how you could really get good at prioritizing your time. So you can have thinking time, you can focus on the most important stuff early on. And so that's kind of how I've thought about it and what's kind of involved and created this process. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, because like we recently, I sent Randley one of the weekly planners I use, and you've had first eyes witness on this process.
Yeah. You sent me this book, and it one of the things that I really took away from this is like making sure you plan for a quick win as quick as possible. So there's this section, you lay out your day, what are the outcomes, and it's interesting you call it outcomes, because most people call it the to-do list, but this is really like, you know, when you say to do, sometimes you're doing things that don't actually result in outcomes. Yeah. So like you list out your three outcomes, but you also at the very bottom of that are the quick wins. So I think that's, you know, I remember asking you about this, and this quick win is important for you to get momentum very early on. Mm-hmm. I think that, I don't know if it's human psychology or somewhere that you read where like once you get a few things checked off, you're more likely to get going. It's like starting a car in cold Canadian winter. you got to start it up first, boot it up. Like once your mind is like in that space you call deep work, like we mentioned earlier, then you can get chugging along, and it's harder to stop. It's a, yeah.
Man, you're pulling out all the analogies.
Oh, shoot. I don't mean it on purpose, but like, yeah, that's, maybe just how I think about it.
Yeah, no, it's good. So I'll go through the like the week process. And for all of the listeners out there, I want you to know, like you can do this with just like a notebook with lines in it, ideally. So you don't need anything fancy for this planning process. But this is what I found to be one of the most effective ways at getting good work done. So how it starts is really with understanding the brain dump part. So as you're going through your week, even this week, if you want to start it right now, is just have piece of paper or something that you can go to. If you want to have it tech enabled, that's fine too. But like Rami and I, we both rave about when you cross something out, it feels great. So that's why I like paper journals for the work journal component, but you don't need it. So the first part, write down everything you think you need to do the next week. And as you're going through the week, have that piece of paper where you can go through it, continue to add to it. You will notice there's some things that pop up. And instead of just focusing on it right then and there, which is so common, and you just like overload yourself for one day, just put the stuff that's like important, but not urgent on that list. And so when you start your planning, usually I do this on like a Saturday or a Sunday. It doesn't have to be on the weekend if you don't want to. I just find like in the week, I'm in like the day-to-day mindset. I'm just like working, and I don't get like above the day-to-day too often from that end. So maybe if your situation is different, approach it on the weekdays, but I like the weekend for this since I think a bit more clearly. But then you're going to go through that brain dump list and also review like your quarterly OKRs in annual kind of like focus. And then just try and understand like, what are the top three outcomes for that week? Mm. If you could only do three things, that's it. What are those things? And write them down. And then the next piece, this is the fun one, is really like, what is the highlight for every single day of the week? And when you start focusing on that and coming up with something, it's truly amazing because you can be excited about every single day before you wake up. You have that one thing that you're looking forward to. And then what I do once I have that, that's the fun part. You kind of go back to the work part of identifying, okay, like every single outcome, what do I have to do? What is like the, obviously we know the top priorities, but what are the other things on here that still really do need to get done? And then you just put that all down on a simple list. And then you can get going to the day-to-day planning, which is really just identify the top three outcomes for that specific day. Now that first one, honestly, it's the most important. And if you're in a situation, let's say where maybe you're working for someone else, and or maybe even you have your own business, but you have other client work and different things, you need to create the space to work on what is the highest priority item for you. If you're writing a book, like this is writing that book, it is or anything else, because what often happens is, well, it's so easy. Like something else pops up, you get focused on something else, but the most important thing doesn't get done. And so have that first, block it off on your calendar. And I don't know about you, Rami, but like I try and actually like block it. Like for me, it's 9 to 12. I try not to take any calls from there. If there is some nice folks in Europe, I might, but it's on like a, you know, and not everyday basis kind of thing. So yeah, that's how I try and create space for like those first one or two objectives. How about you, Roman?
Yeah, it goes back to momentum. Like I think if you start off, I don't know, sometimes if I start off the day with a meeting, it's like so hard for me to get into a space to really get into deep work. So I'm in the same boat as you, where I really do focus on getting one or two things really done and booking off and working in the morning, which is when I'm most productive.
Yeah. And I think that like was covered in Deep Work or and maybe another book too, but it's important to just understand like what time do you work best at? I know Ramley, sometimes I catch him working a lot later than me and I'm like, oh dude, like I'm asleep by like 10. I remember there's this one other item too, like we had the end of the course and like it was really like the deadline was we are closing applications at 12. And usually in the past, I would, you know, do it in the morning of the next day. So I wouldn't have to stay up that late. But this guy, he's committed. He really stayed up that late. So yeah, there's different times where you definitely focus. So when you hear us say like a morning's work best, that's not always the case for you since we're all different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first two objectives are outcomes. Those are the most important ones. If you don't get to the third one, you shouldn't feel bad about it because you've really prioritized and focused on the most important stuff. But then below, I just have quick wins. Honestly, whenever you're going day to day, maybe someone messages you something pops up and you're like, this is important. I need to do it, but it's not necessarily urgent. So I just have a tallying list. I go through it. I do add my meetings to this list, even if they're on Google Calendar, because I can cross them out and it feels great. I feel like I'm getting that progress again. And I usually try and have the first two quick wins are really easy. And sometimes there are things that I'm already doing. I already have a habit built up for them. So the first one for me is like, I work out every morning. So I'm done that before I get to my office and I start work. So I can immediately see progress. I am executing on my goals and making progress. It feels good. Kind of like what Ramley was mentioning. Like when you do feel that progress, you are more motivated to do more work. And so some of the other things are just easy, like journaling or something. Should take less than 5 minutes just so you can go through that next part, get some more quick wins. And then the other pieces on the day-to-day is really just your highlights, which you should have covered last week. But as you're going through the day, just adding more, I find is super helpful, as it's just like creating that gratitude mindset of like being really thankful for how much you do have in your life. Even with COVID and everything going on, there's still many things we should be grateful for, especially given that we're in tech of all places. And then the last part is just questions. So as you go through your day, you'll probably bump into some things where you don't quite know the answer to. So just think about it, write it down and let your subconscious do some of the work for you, but just make a note of it and go from there. So that's the whole day-to-day planning process. It's really straightforward. And it's something I found to be really effective for myself. But yeah, any other kind of tidbits or things you'd add to it, Brian?
I think that this is really good. Like you went from, you call it 30,000 feet up, and then you're like going down to the very ground level. So it covers, yeah, it really does cover everything. I think we'd love to, you know, we'd also love to hear what other people's goal setting process are. You know, we're on, if you're not part of the product-led community Slack group, join it. Just a little plug there, but we're there. I mean, Wes and I are there. Like, you can send us a DM. Like, really, it's like, that's a really cool opportunity is to connect with people who are really like pushing themselves. Like, they're the product, like growth is not just for your business, but it's also a personal thing, right, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome.
Well, that's it for this episode. I'd love to hear what your goals are for 2021. Send me an email, ramley@growthtoday.fm, or you can find me on Twitter @RamleyJohn or on LinkedIn, Ramley John. I'm Ramley John everywhere. Well, that's it. Well, best of luck in 2021. Let's just bring it and really take 2021 to the next level with whatever you're working on, whether that's a business or your workplace or your career. That's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John. Keep safe. And as always, keep on growing.